if you'll remember, well, this is talks about it, but if you'll remember, Philip was sent to the town of Samaria to preach. And during that evangelization, there's a story. We learn about Simon Magus, or Simon the Magician. And his story, in our text today, has much that can teach us about the title of this message. And if you haven't seen the title, it's right there. Controlling or Controlled? Controlling or Controlled? It's a question. And we've all met manipulative people. People that try to attempt to control others. And we ourselves may be more involved in controlling than we realize. And I think maybe this message will help us to realize that. We sometimes just want to control the situation, and it involves the wills of other people, but we just sort of reach out and control them too sometimes. Well, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Self-control. And it's interesting. Personal self-control is a virtue. But selfishly controlling others, that's a vice. And in the process of salvation, the Holy Spirit tries to teach us and lead us to abandon the vice and to embrace the virtue and start practicing the virtue of self-control. But our will is involved. We have a choice. And we must choose our response to that. True conversion, this is where this theme comes in. True conversion surrenders a controlling heart to God's control. So when we meet people, like meeting this person, Simon Magus, or Simon the Magician, I get the old translations say Simon Magus because he was a magi in a sense. He was one of the type of a magi. He was a magician. He was a sorcerer. Anyway, Simon the Magician. Well, when we meet people, we only meet facets of their personalities and their characters. We don't see the whole person. It's like the tip of an iceberg many times. What we see of the iceberg might be deceptively attractive. Oh, how beautiful it is. It's like all those sculptures in ice, and then underneath, your ship is going to have its bottom torn out by something dangerous that you didn't see. It might sink your ship. So it's tragic when Christian leaders who on the outside we perceive them as great people, they rise to fame and power, and then they fall into moral disgrace. And we've heard stories like that, and it's sad, because their fall into moral disgrace can damage the reputation of Christ's ongoing work. And that's been the theme of this whole book of Acts, the ongoing work of Christ through the Holy Spirit. But usually, behind those falls, behind those tragic falls, there's more than meets the eye, just like the tip of the iceberg. It's just like that with Simon the Magician. And he had started his personal career by controlling the crowds. Controlling the crowds. Verse 9 and 11. Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power." For a long time, he amazed people with their magic, with his magic. Now, these words about Simon, and it's not intentional, I don't believe, but they do give us a psychological study of Simon the Magician. It helps us to understand him a little bit. And it helps us to learn about ourselves maybe a little bit. He had learned and he practiced sorcery with a motive. He had a motive behind it. Magical arts had impressed him. And he knew that if he could learn them and practice them, he could impress other people. You know, he could impress other people. So that was one of the things. And it worked for him because it says he amazed all the people of Samaria. So it worked. It worked. And he craved the limelight. He boasted of his greatness in order to gain everyone's attention. He was an attention gatherer. And it worked for him. because the crowds thought he represented divine power. In fact, they called him the great power, and it's in my translation, it's in capitals, because it was almost like he's like a deity or something. You know, that's what they were thinking. So, deep inside, Simon knew that his boast was empty. Deep inside his heart, he knew that his boast was empty. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Not just him as a person. It was his magic, okay? So there's an Indonesian proverb that says, the shallower the brook, the more it babbles. That's a really good proverb. I love that kind of stuff because it really captures this whole thing. The shallower the brook, the more it babbles. And the one who brags the loudest has the least real self-confidence. You think about that. Doesn't have real self-confidence. Finding self-worth is one of life's greatest quests. Am I truly valuable? Am I truly valuable? And a positive answer to that question, am I truly valuable, comes only by answering another question. And that question is, who am I in relationship to the great I am? Think about that for a minute. Who am I? Because I want to find out who I am. Who am I in relationship to the great I am? Because if I don't understand I am, then how can I understand an I am myself? I am someone. I am valuable. I am a person. I have a will. I have a mind. So does I am. And that's where we got ours. So we can understand our identity and also our worth. Am I truly valuable? Well, Simon's magical skills gave him control of the crowd, but it brought him no fulfillment. It did not bring him fulfillment. The crowd followed him, but that was not his fulfillment. It may have given him some perks, but eventually it didn't. Exploring the occult or getting involved in the occult to gain magical control, it eventually leads to being under control by demonic forces. And he maybe was experiencing this demonic realm. And we don't know all about his magic. But Simon's boast of prestige brought him no security. And when the true power of God showed up in Samaria, he realized he was essentially out of control. Because the crowd went off to Philip, after Philip. Here's what it says. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Belief is an interesting word. Belief is not faith. Belief can be an I think so opinion. I believe so. I think so. That's my opinion. But faith is such confidence that you're willing to surrender it all to God, perhaps, or to whatever cause you're giving it to. It's like a willingness to surrender all. Now, Simon's magic was impressive. It was impressive to a lot of people, but it offered him no forgiveness from the past, no peace for the present, and no hope for the future. You think about it. Even miracles. I mean, it's like it tells us something about God, but they themselves do not give us the hope. It's God. It's in God that is our hope. It's in God that is our forgiveness, and it's in God that is our peace. And these things were not given to him by the magic that he knew. And also, he not only lost crowd control, he lost control of the crowd because of Philip's preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God. But he also discovered something. He saw the advantage of having divine power, not occult power, not magical power, but divine power that reached beyond the prestige and the prospects of magic, you know, of magical sorcery. Now, he was also baptized. Baptism can be and should be a confession of faith. It should be a confession of your total trust and surrender to God. But the ritual itself is not faith. It isn't faith. Simon's baptism may have been a political move to get himself plugged into this new movement that was manifesting all kinds of signs and miracles. Those were very impressive to him. It says he followed Philip everywhere. Rather than deciding to follow Christ, he was following Philip and astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. So what was impressing him? Was his focus the person that Philip was preaching, or the possibility of miracle working connected with the name of Jesus Christ? And you begin to see a little bit more of Philip's motive in this whole thing. Seeing the Holy Spirit outpoured, because this was a new thing. When Peter and John showed up, the Holy Spirit was outpoured, not just Philip was doing miracles and signs. Now there was something else. This was the power, the great power. This was the power that was behind those miracles. So, wow, they can lay their hands on these people and receive the Holy Spirit. So he had, at this opportunity, he had a chance. He had an opportunity to make a choice. Shall I go after this kind of power, or do I want to surrender myself to this power? That was the question. And he could continue his old life of controlling others, or he could live out a new life of surrendering control to God. And this is what it says here. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Simon's choice revealed his heart. He had not changed. He was still wanting to gain control, to get control of the crowd so they would follow him. He was not into surrendering control. Peter's answer to him shows what was behind this. Of surrendering, not wanting to surrender control. Peter answered Simon, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Those are really important words. I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin, controlled by sin or sinful forces. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." I want to get my neck out of the noose here. Well, the Holy Spirit searches the heart. Searches all of our hearts. And sometimes he exposes a heart that is not right before God. And that's what he's doing here in Simon through Peter, whose also name was Simon. It changed to Peter. So don't want to get too mixed up. He did this to Simon the magician through Peter. The motive of Simon's Christian profession was evidently not salvation. That was not his motive in this profession of faith that he made. It was something else. He wanted to extend his control or regain control or to extend his control over people, over others, over, he wants to extend his crowd control. And Peter had severe words for this. He said, your money perish with you. Perish? Well, that's perdition. That's lostness. And Peter was calling a spade a spade. This is, you're not saved. You're going to perish, and your money perish with you. This is not part of Christianity. This is not part of the Christian faith. Peter saw that Simon's statement of belief and his submission to the rite of baptism had given him no part. It had given him no part or share in this ministry, in the Christian faith and the Christian ministry and Christian work. The Holy Spirit exposed something, and Peter saw this. He exposed the roots of Simon's controlling attitude. Peter said, I see that you are full of bitterness. Full of bitterness. This is a hard one. Because you see, sometimes in the past, you can be hurt by people who reject you, who isolate you, exclude you from their company. You're not worthy to be with us. Ever had that happen? A lot of times it happens in grade schools, way long time ago sometimes. And it's painful. This rejection is painful, and it hurts. And the hurt can fester, and it can cause bitterness and anger. Someday I'll get back. I'll show them. I'll achieve great things, and I will be great, and I'll show them. You know? Bitterness. Bitterness. There are hurts in our lives that need to be touched by God's grace and healed. But we cannot let them rule our lives. We cannot let bitterness control us or be our motivation in life. He also said this. He said, this idea of seeking respect, this idea of seeking prestige, being in control, it backfires on him. It has backfired on him because he said, the one who wants to be in control, or the controller, actually becomes the controlled in this situation. You're doing things because you are controlled by that bitterness. You are controlled by that lack of forgiveness. You are controlled by it, and also by the demons you've invited in with this occult practices and so on. I see that you are captive to sin. You are being controlled by sin. So Peter shows Simon the way out of this. And it's the way out for all of us. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. You see, he's calling for true repentance and true conversion, where God can reach his hand in and heal that bitterness, heal that hurt. Many times it takes going back with the Lord into those situations and asking, Lord, where were you in that? You know, in that time I was a young boy being hurt or a young woman being hurt by rejection. Where were you in that? And sometimes Jesus will actually show where he was and what he was doing, and it will be like a revelation that will heal. That's happened to many, many people, called the healing of memories. But when we are accepted into his kingdom, accepted into the beloved, accepted into his kingdom, that acceptance cancels out all of the rejection we've experienced, because it so far surpasses it. You know, you think about being on the inn with that group of people way, way, way back that maybe caused something that set up a bitterness that lasted your whole life almost, and that situation was so hurting to you, and yet the people that you wanted to be in with, they're all broken up. They may be bums on the street, homeless now. I mean, did you really want to have that? Is that what you really wanted, that relationship, you see? When you could have this relationship that puts you in relationship not only with God, but a gigantic group of really nice people in heaven. And if they're not too nice, they're learning to be nice. We are all learning to be nice. And that's why we need to get most of it done down here. But Peter shows him the way out. He needs true conversion so that can be healed. And he needs to surrender this controlling spirit, this attitude of control in his heart, a controlling heart, to God's control. Surrender it to God's control. Unfortunately, Simon avoided a direct, personal surrender of himself and his heart to God. And instead he asked Peter, pray to the Lord for me. And I know I can't get up. I'm not going to be able to do that. You pray to the Lord for me that these bad things don't happen to me. I don't want anything bad to happen to me. Philip and Peter and John had given Simon a clear example of a surrendered heart and life. Philip and Peter and John had traveled a long distance to come to Samaria and were giving away. And their ministry was under the Holy Spirit's empowerment, not to control, but to bless the crowd. Not to control the crowd and get the crowd to follow them. No, but to follow Jesus and give away to that crowd a blessing. And what they were doing, freely they had received the grace, freely they had received the Holy Spirit. Now they were saying, you too can be blessed, giving it away. This was their example. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. There was a man named Dudinsky, I think he's still alive. He said, happy people don't go through life collecting recognition. They go through life giving it away. And he was trying to collect it because he didn't have self-confidence. He didn't have self-worth. He didn't have a good view of his identity and self-acceptance. He needed what Jesus could give him, and that was surrender to his control and the leading in his life. So exclusion, insecurity, lack of self-confidence, low self-esteem, they're helped not by gaining control of others. They're helped by surrendering control to the God of love and the God of wisdom in Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to have the Holy Spirit empowerment so that we can be blessed ourselves, but also that we can bless others, that we can bless them so that they can have the same spiritual power and the same spiritual motivation to serve. So it's all about serving others. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have offered us, you've offered us, Lord, to take upon yourself all the things that have damaged us or hurt us in the past and caused us maybe to become a controlling or have a controlling heart that wants to just gain control and be in control. When, Lord, we really, really need to surrender it to you. We don't have the wisdom you have. We don't even have the love for ourselves that you have for us. And so, Lord, the best way is to surrender to your control, that we might be guided in the ways that will bless our lives, really bless our lives, by blessing others. Help us to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.